I have wrestled with and struggled with and prayed about and thought about some more how to start this sermon today. And I think I'm going to start right there with the last lyrics of that song. Servant and King, rescue the world. This is our God. That's why we're here, right? So you're not here to hear me speak. You're not here to hear Andy speak if he was here. You're not here to hear Rogerio speak if he was up here today. Servant and King, rescue the world. This is our God. All right, that's the end. Not really, but that's why we're here, right? I'm excited to speak. I'm as excited as I can be today under our current circumstances to speak today at the beginning of one of my favorite weeks of the year, Thanksgiving week. See, to me and to so many people, this really kicks off the holiday season. Thanksgiving Day is one of my favorite days. And the build-up to Thanksgiving Day is one of my favorite few days. We have traditions in our family. On Wednesday night, I always go and help my mom cook Thanksgiving dinner for the next day. And I think I've finally convinced her after 38 years that I actually like doing it, and that's not a burden to me. It's not something I dread. So I think she finally gets that. It's something I really enjoy doing. I request off work for it, and it's a really special time. It's a really fun time. I pray for you that the holidays are a positive time. For some people, the holidays bring up negativity because they can be a painful reminder of who isn't here or who was here in our families or who isn't with us anymore. I hope and pray that in some way, that through God you can find peace in that situation. I know there's a lot of chaos going on in a lot of our lives. I want to start with a verse that is easy to say, but it's not so easy to do, and it's even harder to live. To some, this verse could be uncomfortable. To some, you may feel like this verse was written for others, but not for you. Some people do a great job living this out, and you feel like, I mean, this is my key verse right here. But some of you need to hear this going into the holidays. I need to hear this going into the holidays. We're going to go 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus. So the fact that verse says be thankful and give thanks in all circumstances and not just some circumstances or not good circumstances makes that way easier said than done, right? How was I supposed to be thankful when I lost my job? How can I expect somebody that's about to file bankruptcy to be thankful about that? How can God expect Mike and Tess to be thankful about the situation they're going through with Iliad? It just doesn't make sense to be thankful for that, be thankful through that. What we're going to do today is look at some scripture that speaks to why we should be thankful in all circumstances. And hopefully this can help set us in the right mindset going into the holiday season here. So I got a question for you. Who can tell me the first sin in the Bible, the very first sin? Shout it out. Participate. Very first sin in the Bible. A little bit. Josh, what's that? All right, that's a good one. That's my boy. All right. Some people would say it was that the first sin was eating the fruit, the fact that they ate the fruit. And a lot of you were onto it right there. The first sin was not that they ate the first fruit that God told them not to. The first sin, if you want to get right down to the core of the matter, was that they were ungrateful for what they had. They were given all this whole area. They were given every tree except for one. They were given everything they needed, plus everything they wanted, except for the one tree. And somehow they were unthankful during that. And I'm not calling them out because I'd probably do the same thing. And I think if we're all being honest with ourselves, we've all done that same thing in our lives. The very first sin in the Bible came from a lack of thankfulness. Their want for more, their ingratitude won out. Let me ask you this. What issues do you have in your life right now due to ingratitude. Sometimes not expressing thankfulness to someone can be damaging or can come across as ingratitude. Andy Stanley said this quote, and I love it. Unexpressed gratitude feels like ingratitude to the ones for whom you are grateful. Unexpressed gratitude feels like ingratitude to the ones for whom you are grateful. That's pretty deep, right? That's way deeper than anything I can come up with. Who have you made feel less than valuable because of your unexpressed gratitude? Go ahead and express gratitude to them today in some kind of way. Have you made God feel... Have you not expressed gratitude towards God and made him feel like you're ungrateful? Express that to God today. In accordance with God's will for you, are you thankful in all circumstances? Are we thankful in all circumstances? We're going to go through a small list right now. The list was created by Charles Stanley, Andy's dad. And this is a brilliant list right here of the benefits of giving thanks. And I took the list and tied a scripture to each one to kind of make it hit home more. Benefits of giving thanks. Number one, giving thanks keeps us continually aware that God is close by. Sometimes we need that reminder, right? A lot of times we need that reminder that God is close by, that he listens, that he knows, that he heals, that God is a God of peace. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus. Sometimes we just need to know that God is close by, and a lot of times that starts with our thankfulness. Number two, giving thanks motivates us to look for his purpose in our circumstances. This one's really, really hard to understand. I'm sure that everybody struggles with this. God allows everything for his purpose. I don't get that. I don't think we're meant to get that. I know we're not meant to get that because he doesn't give us the answers. That includes good things, includes bad things, like hurt, trouble, pain. Knowing that and focusing on that can help to take the edge off, that God allows everything for his purpose. God is in control, good and bad. We also have to somehow find a way to fully trust that God works everything out for good in his timing. Romans 8, starting with verse 28, says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. Giving thanks motivates us to look for the purpose in our circumstances. Number three, giving thanks helps bring our will into submission to God. That's not a fun one, right? Because we want what we want it when we want it, and nothing else really matters a lot of times. But giving thanks will help bring our will into submission to God. When we're going through something that we don't want to go through, submitting to God's will is huge, and at times, the submission changes God's response. Luke chapter 22 is an account of Jesus leading up to his trial and crucifixion. Everything was in motion at this point, and he knew that this was the way it had to be. It was tough even for him, and he wrestled with it, and he prayed about it, and he even asked God, is there another way? If there's another way, God, make the way. I don't want to go through this. And then while he's praying, he says this, and he gets this response. Luke 22, starting with verse 42. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. You see the relationship there of Jesus submitting his will and then being strengthened. It didn't happen the other way around. I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel appeared and gave him strength. Sorry about that. God wants our heart, good times and bad times. He wants our thankfulness, good times, bad times. All of creation exists to glorify him, and that includes every single person in this room. I try to teach the kids that, and we try to teach the kids that in kids' ministry. Don't worry about God's purpose for your life, because we already know what it is. Your purpose, the reason you were made, is to glorify God. Don't worry about that. Don't wonder about that. Just find a way to glorify him. This isn't exclusive to Jesus, and when he was going through his trial, he does the same for us if we let him, and when we let him. So question, have you submitted your will to God? Or are you still trying to control an uncontrollable situation? Give it to God and watch him give you what you need in return, the if-then relationship. Number four, giving thanks reminds us of our continual dependence on God. When we're trapped in a situation or we're in a hopeless situation, our independence evaporates. Now think about that for just a minute. When your house gets broken into, the first person you call is the police. First people you call is the police. When there's a health emergency, you call an ambulance. When you have a car accident, you call the insurance company. If you're on a flight and you lose your luggage, you don't say, I'm going back to the city that I was in and finding my luggage. I'm going to do it right now. No, you call the airline and you say, I need you all to find my luggage. I need you to send it to me. Your independence evaporates. We can't take care of all situations by ourselves. We're dependent on them. And we're dependent on help. The way our company, the company that I like, that I work for, likes to say, if you have a problem that you keep to yourself, it's your problem. But if you have a problem that you bring to us, it's now our problem, and everyone can help you with it. The same could be said for God in a lot of ways. God is in control of everything, whether we like that or not. That's all part of the submission to our will. Submission to our will. But thanking God that he is in control reminds us that we're dependent on him and that he's our strength. Giving thanks reminds us of our continual dependence on God. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Number five, giving thanks strengthens our witness to unbelievers. Giving thanks strengthens our witness to unbelievers. And this is a really, really key part of the list. The world is full of ugliness. I'm sure you would all agree with me. And if you don't, I want the rose-colored glasses that you're wearing because I think that'd be awesome. But giving thanks strengthens our witness to unbelievers. You don't have to look very far to see it. And if you choose to, you can focus on all that negativity. It'd be so easy to do so. We all know people in our lives that do that. The world needs our thankfulness in every circumstance. The world needs to see believers being thankful, good and bad and ugly. The world needs our contentment. I worked with a girl at one point that asked me, why are you always so happy? And just that simple question, I was able to share Jesus with her just through that simple question. See, we worked at a place that was really kind of lame, to be honest with you, and we had a lot of lame coworkers. But I try my best to come in with a good attitude every day. And at one point, she just said, why are you so happy today? And I said, it's because I have Jesus in my heart. And that opened up so many conversations. That one answer, that one question, opened up a lot of conversations. It opened up to me sharing the gospel with her, being able to pray with her over some really, really serious issues. And that all started with just being thankful, being happy. Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says, just as you accepted Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. I love the language that's chosen there, overflow with thankfulness. There's so many different ways that that verse or that the context of that verse could have been written. But I love the visual of overflowing with thankfulness. There may be times in your life when you can honestly ask, what do I have to be thankful for? You may be in that time right now. What do I have to be thankful for? What do we have to be thankful for? There's a constant answer to that question that's positive, and that's the salvation that God offers us. Salvation offered to us by a loving God. Thanking God during smooth times is easy, because when you're getting what you want and you have everything you need, it's easy to thank God and say, man, he's blessed me big time. But if we focus on what he has given us, the salvation that is offered to us, the power that he holds over every situation, then we know that he will see us through the tough times. His faithfulness will endure forever. We have several people in this church that are going through tough circumstances. We have several people in this church who do a great job of living out, being grateful and thankful no matter what's going on. I want to single one of those people out, and I hope she's not mad at me for doing so. But when's the last time you had a conversation with Miss Betty where she didn't at some point include, God is so good. God is so faithful to me. And this is a lady who's been through some circumstances, right? And she ends 90 to 95% of her conversations with, God is so good to me. God has blessed me so much. I hope and pray that we can all be more like her, be more faithful, and be more thankful in the process. And we love you, Miss Betty. We love the fact that you live out thankfulness and model that for all of us. It's so awesome. So let me ask you this question. Do you have that kind of reputation? Do you have a reputation of being thankful no matter what? And I'm not saying everybody here is going through bad. A lot of people are going through good. But do you have a reputation that thankfulness is something you're known for? Do people look at you and see that there's something different about the way that you live, about the way that you respond, and the way that you appreciate every single thing that God has given you, good and bad? So going back to the holiday season that we're about to enter this Thursday, parents, let's face it, you will set so much of the tone in your house for the kids this holiday season. If you live the rat race and try to do everything and scramble from here to there and check off the kids' list, and check off, we want to do this and this and this and this, and we're not going to be able to enjoy it because we're running so much, trying to make everything perfect in the process, that's what your kids are going to remember. Guilty as charged. I love the line. I hate the Cubs, but I love this line. So when they won the World Series a few years ago, their manager talked about their leadoff hitter, who was Dexter Fowler, who, since they've let him go, they haven't been so good. You will notice that. They haven't been as good. But Dexter Fowler was their leadoff hitter, and he set the tone for everything they did. So Joe Madden had a line about him that he said, you go, we go. That means if you're hitting and you're setting the table for all the other hitters, you go, we go. But if you're doing bad, you're bad, we're bad, right? You go, we go. Parents and leaders, that's so true for you and the tone that you'll set for your families this holiday season. I urge you to slow down. I urge you to enjoy each other. And I urge you, encourage you, to just stop and be thankful. To really be thankful for what you've been given. And if you do that, and if we all do that, it'll carry over into all parts of our world. It'll carry over to everybody around us. It'll carry over into this church. This place will be the most joyful place in the world. We own so much of that. Lead your family this year, this holiday, these holidays with thankfulness. I encourage you to do so. I want to wrap it up reading out of Ephesians 1. I want to start by saying, if you haven't read Ephesians lately, I strongly encourage you to do so. I've been living in Ephesians these last 4 months, good and bad. And man, it's a gold mine. I want to start with chapter 1, verse 3. And after we read it, we'll give it some context. But let's just start here. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Jesus. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Jesus to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Jesus, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Jesus, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Jesus, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Let's skip a few verses and go down to verse 14. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Don't miss that part. We talked about that earlier, right? He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Those are some powerful words. There's a lot going on in Ephesians chapter 1. And at first glance, it would appear that the writer of Ephesians 1 was at the top of his game, that he was feeling good about himself, that he was feeling great about his relationship with God, and the way he was ministering to people and the way that God was using him. But when we dig into that, we realize that Paul was the writer of that, and he wrote those words from jail. And he was in jail at the time because he was serving God. So a man that was in jail serving God wrote those beautiful words about God's redemptive power, about God's plan for our lives, about how God created us to glorify him, and how good God had been to him, and God had been to that group of believers he was writing to, and how he urges them to be thankful and how he prays for them every single day. That's modeled for us all throughout the Bible. And Paul models it for us in Ephesians 1. He's not just some mythical character that was made up to fulfill a need, or that the writers of this book wanted to get across some kind of agenda. Paul was real. Paul had problems. Paul was in jail when he wrote those words. Be thankful in every circumstance. I pray that and encourage you to be thankful in every circumstance. If he can do that in a jail cell, certainly we can do that going into this holiday season and stop and thank God for everything that he has given us. Good, bad, and ugly, right? I pray that power over you as a believer and over your families, and may we all live out thankfulness in every single way and every single thing we do. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I pray power over every single person, over LifePoint Church, over every single believer, over every single seeker, that we can live out thankfulness, that we can realize what you've done for us, that we can strip away the negativity that comes with being part of this world, seeing the bad that we see, being involved in the bad that we're involved in, that we can just take away all of that and be thankful, God. Be thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Thankfulness that the Spirit lives in us, that you give us that power and that boldness and the courage. You've given us so much, Lord. I pray that we're known as a church of thankful people. I pray that the world can see that we're different in a good way, and that in turn that they want to explore what we have, the Spirit in us, and that your Spirit can transform them too. I pray that we can live that out. If you haven't accepted Jesus today or in your life, today is a great day to do so. We're going to continue in a mindset of prayer, but the only way to truly be thankful in your life is to have Jesus in your life. He created you, and he created you and everybody with a need for him to fill gaps in your life, for him to have a relationship with you and you to have a relationship with him. And he's pursuing you, whether you realize that or not, he's pursuing you in every single way. And I pray that you'll accept that. If you haven't accepted him today, it's as easy as saying, Jesus, I need you, and I invite you into my life to be my Savior. If you did that, if you invited Jesus into your life today, I would love to talk to you about that and pray with you about that. Rosario and I would love to. You just seek us out or another leader in the church. We'd love to pray you through that decision, guide you on the next step of it. But Lord, just bless the rest of our time together. And we're so thankful for what you've given us as a church, as families and individuals. We're thankful for Andy and Jen. I pray that they have an amazing week together with their kids. I pray that they get some rest, relaxation, and sun and everything that they need, rejuvenation. We're so thankful for them, the leadership they give us. Lord, bless the decisions that are being made in your name today, Lord. May we be known, if nothing else, may we be known for thankfulness in your name and your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I long for your